in Luke chapter 2. If you have a Bible, you can turn there. If you don't have a Bible, everything will be on the screen behind me and you can follow along there. Let me read the passage and then we'll pray and jump into the message this evening. Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 4. Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family line of David, to be registered along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was pregnant. While they were there, the time came for her to give birth. Then she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him tightly in cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. In the same region, shepherds were staying out in the fields and keeping watch at night over their flock. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the city of David, a Savior was born for you, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped tightly in cloth and lying in a manger." Suddenly there was a multitude of heavenly hosts with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to people he favors." When the angels had left them and returned to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go straight to Bethlehem and see what has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." They hurried off and found both Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. After seeing them, they reported the message they were told about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary was treasuring up all these things in her heart and meditating on them. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had seen and heard, which were just as they had been told. When the 8 days were completed for his circumcision, he was named Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived. Let's pray as we consider this text together tonight. Father, thank you for your word. As we celebrate the birth of our Savior, God, may these words penetrate our hearts and even expose a lack of faith or belief and replace it with trust. May we, like these shepherds, come and worship and glorify you. And may we spread the good news of a Savior who is born for all people, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. One of the things that might be unfamiliar or maybe doesn't stick out to you all the time when you think of the story of Jesus' birth is the reality that this was a terrifying experience for these shepherds. I want to look at some of the details of this together. And if you want to follow along and take some notes, you'll see that handout that was available to you on the way in on the back has my sermon outline. And the first thing that I want to point out from this passage is that the glory of the Lord filled the shepherds with great fear. Now, obviously, the story of Christmas is not a story of fear. It is a story of salvation. It is a story of hope. But before we get to salvation and hope, first comes fear. The Bible says in the same region, shepherds were staying out in the fields and keeping watch at night over their flock. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. Now think about this for a minute. These are men who are accustomed to being out in the elements. They've experienced probably bad people trying to do bad things. I'm sure they've encountered people out in the middle of the night who are looking to probably take from them, steal from their herds, or other things. They would have experienced the being exposed out in the elements and, you know, the fear that comes with being out there when there's a great storm that comes over them. And they were just out there at night a lot. And so I'm guessing these aren't men who are easily terrified. My guess is these are men who are accustomed to seeing strange things. But this particular event causes them to be terrified. Why are they terrified? And the answer that the Bible gives us here is the glory of the Lord. Now, if you're like me, you don't often associate God's presence with being afraid. However, when we look at the Bible, nearly every time That phrase, the glory of the Lord appears, somebody experiences, it's another way of saying God's presence, they experience the glory of the Lord, their response is always the same. And that response is, here it's described as terrified. Isaiah describes it as being undone. Peter would exclaim to the Lord and ask him to go away from him. There's something about experiencing the presence of God that changes our demeanor. The reason for that is the same reason that the Savior came into the world. The reason that his presence might seem terrifying to us is because in his presence, we are exposed. In his presence, we all of our excuses and all of our justifications for how we're living our lives are stripped away as we see him as he truly is. And the point that I'm trying to make here is that when we see God as he truly is, it has a way of helping us see ourselves as we truly are as well. And what we immediately recognize when we experience his presence is that we do not belong there. If you're going to understand the story of Jesus coming into the world, if you're going to understand the purpose of a Savior, you first have to understand our great need for salvation. Our need for salvation comes from the fact that we cannot be in God's presence. Two things became abundantly clear to these shepherds that night. One, there is a God. And two, he is terrifying. I want to rewind the tape a little bit. A few hundred years earlier, the prophet Isaiah had a similar experience. In Isaiah chapter 6, we read about his experience with the glory of the Lord. It says in Isaiah 6, verse 1, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a high and lofty throne, and the hem of his robe filled the temple. Seraphim," those are angelic beings, "seraphim were standing above him, and they each had six wings." That's kind of terrifying. We think of angels as being like just like really attractive human beings. But these angels had six wings, and they were terrifying. With two, they covered their faces. With two, they covered their feet. And with two, they flew. And one called to another. Understand the purpose of the angels in this story. Their purpose is to declare God as he truly is. So they called to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of armies, and his glory fills the whole earth." You and I exist in a world that is both physical and spiritual. And the spiritual is largely hidden from us most of the time. But what Isaiah is experiencing here is a pulling back of the curtain so that he could see what's really going on in the world. And what he sees is that the Lord is high and lifted up, and that he is holy and holy and holy, and that his glory fills the earth. So much so that Isaiah says the foundations of the doorways shook at the sound of their voices, and the temple was filled with smoke. Put yourself in that position. How would you respond to seeing God glorified in this way? Isaiah says, "Then I said, 'Woe is me, for I am ruined, because I am a man of unclean lips and live among a people of unclean lips, and because my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of armies.'" When Isaiah saw the glory of God, he was undone, knowing that he did not belong in his presence. Now we skip ahead after Jesus's birth. Jesus had been ministering and he was gathering disciples. And one day he called some of those disciples who were fishermen by trade. And he told Peter, he said, "Go ahead," and they were along the shore of the Sea of Galilee there. And he said, "Go ahead and cast your nets." And Peter says, but Jesus, we've been fishing all night. There's nothing. The fish aren't biting tonight. We're not going to catch anything." But he says, "Because you said so, I will do this." And we pick up the story there in Luke chapter 5. It says, "When they did this, they caught a great number of fish, and their nets began to tear. So they signaled to their partners in the other boats to come and help them. They came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink." Now, maybe to most of us, that's just a story about an incredible catch of fish. But to Peter, it was the revelation of who Jesus was. He knew those waters. He knew how the fish behaved. He had been out there all night. He knew that this was not going to be a productive day of fishing. And something changed when Jesus told him to let down his nets. And that something led him to a realization of who he was dealing with. And that's why in verse 8 it says, when Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, because I am a sinful man, Lord. Even at my own salvation, I can remember being overcome with this sudden and unexpected awareness of the fact that I exist in the presence of an infinitely powerful and holy God. And I don't belong there." In each of these stories, I want you to see the effect of being exposed to who God is. Because one of the things that we have to struggle with at Christmas time is sometimes we like the idea of Jesus in the manger, but he's not threatening. He's kind of, we picture him as being sort of cute and adorable, but he's the God of all creation, and he is not to be trifled with. He does not remain a baby, though he came in his humility. He came and took on flesh. He grew, and he goes to the cross to provide for our salvation. And if we don't make that connection at Christmas time to who it is that was born into this manger, then we'll miss the message of salvation. But it's not meant to be news that terrifies us. It's the reality of the spiritual gap between us and our Creator that causes terror and fear. But it's really a story of good news. It's a story of great joy. Let's keep reading. The next thing you'll see on the handout, the next thing I want to reflect on here from this passage, the glory of the Lord. Oh, I'm sorry, I went backwards. But the angel brought good news of a Savior. Yes, the glory of the Lord filled the shepherds with fear, but the angel came to announce to them good news of salvation, of reconciliation back to God. That he was announcing to them that God came to make a way so that we could be in his presence and not fear, that we could be in his presence and experience joy. Verse 10 said, but the angel said to him, "Don't be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the city of David, a Savior was born for you, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be the sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped tightly in cloth and lying in a manger." This message was a message of what the angel calls great joy. The path from great fear to great joy is the announcement of a Savior who has been born. Jesus came not to remain as a baby. Jesus came not to sympathize with our humble state. He came to live a sinless life. And in spite of that, to die a sinner's death on the cross. And in doing so, he lives the life that you and I have failed to live. He dies the life that you and I deserve to live. And then he gifts us his salvation so that in his salvation, we can relate to God as if we have lived that sinless life and as if our sins have already been paid for. That's the good news of great joy that angel came to announce. Who did he come to save? He came to be a Savior, as the angel said, for all people. This may have been a surprise to some of them, as they were certainly anticipating a Savior for the Jews, but they failed to recognize that from the beginning, God's plan was from through the Jews to provide salvation to all peoples. That's why the gospel writers would say in John chapter 1:12, but to all who did receive him, he gave them the right to be children of God, to those who believed in his name. And a little bit later in John 3:16, "For God loved the world in this way, he gave his one and only Son, that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life." Luke 19:10, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save the lost." Paul would say in 1 Timothy 1:15, "The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." What did Jesus come to do? He came to provide a salvation that would bridge the gap that our sin has created between us and God. He came to provide a salvation that would bring us back into a harmonious relationship with our God, with our Creator. He came so that when we stand in his presence, we need not be afraid, because we have been clothed, we have been covered in the righteousness of Jesus. This was good news, the good news of God's salvation. Verse 13 says, "Suddenly there was a multitude of the heavenly hosts with the angel praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to people he favors.'" You may be familiar with other translations which often say, "Peace on earth with whom he is pleased." What does it take for God to be pleased with you? Well, Hebrews 11, verse 6 says, "Without faith, it's impossible to please God." We don't please God by trying to do enough good things to outweigh the bad things we've done. We don't please God by just giving him our very best. We please God by placing our faith in his salvation, which comes only through Jesus Christ. "Without faith, it is impossible to please him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him." How does he reward those who seek him? Specifically, he rewards those who seek him, who come to him through his Son, Jesus Christ. He rewards them with the gift of salvation. And that gift of salvation is not only the forgiveness of our sins, it is the gift of eternal life with him. So you don't have to come to him with a perfect record or an impressive resume of good things you've done. You don't have to be wealthy. You don't have to be someone that everybody likes. You just have to have faith. Faith is a confident trust in what Jesus has done. Faith is the belief that Jesus, who was born as a baby, grew up to provide for my salvation through his sacrifice on the cross, that he rose from the grave on the third day, and that he freely gives salvation to all who trust in him and believe in him. That's how we become those with whom he is pleased. The shepherds, the third point I want to make from this passage, the shepherds responded by believing God and worshiping him. They responded by believing God and worshiping him. We began with this terrifying realization that they're in the presence of a holy God as unholy people. The angel announces to the shepherds, no, you don't need to be afraid. I'm here to bring you good news. But that good news is going to be found in a manger. That good news is going to be witnessed by you in the form of a baby. It says in verse 16, they hurried off and found both Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. After seeing them, they reported the message they were told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary was treasuring up all these things in her heart and meditating on them. Listen to verse 20, though. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had seen and heard, which were just as they had been told. And we don't hear any more from these shepherds. But if they continued on this path, this was clear evidence that their lives had been changed. They believed the message about Jesus. They went and they worshiped him, and they received the good news of the salvation that he came to provide. And the response that they had was that they glorified and praised him. Their going to Jesus shows that they believe the message. Their response of praise shows that they saw that God's plan was good. And so this Christmas Eve, I want to ask you a simple question. It's the last thing you'll see on the handout. What about you? What about you? You too have received the announcement of a salvation that has come through Jesus Christ who was born. You and I, apart from Jesus Christ, we cannot stand in God's presence. We will be exposed for the sinners that we are. But he has come, Jesus has come, so that we might receive the gift of salvation, that we might be reconciled. That's the word that the Bible uses, reconciled back to God through faith in Jesus Christ. When you receive the good news of him the way the shepherds did, and you glorify and you praise and you worship him and you place your faith and trust in it, then you are receiving the gift of salvation, the forgiveness of your sins, the promise of eternal life, and a reconciled relationship with your Creator. Do you feel the urgency this Christmas Eve? The urgency that those shepherds had. They hurried off, the Bible tells us. They were in the middle of a work shift. They had responsibilities. They had things that they were responsible for out there as shepherds. Yet they hurried off because there was something more important to them. What about you? Do you feel that same urgency in coming to Jesus? Do you feel the desire to glorify him for what he has done, to express it through praise and through worship? And ultimately, do you feel the call to place your trust in him for salvation? If you do, then I have good news of great joy. You need not stand before God, your Creator, afraid, because you have been covered in his salvation. Before you move on with the rest of whatever it is that you have planned this Christmas Eve and tomorrow, I just want you to pause. And I want you to ask yourself, is the birth of Jesus Christ good news to you? Have you received his offer of salvation? Place your trust in him? Have you come urgently to him to worship and to glorify him? If not, would you do so tonight? Would you ask Jesus not only to be your Savior, but would you confess him as your Lord? While you consider that, would you close your eyes and bow your heads? I'm not going to ask you to stand up, raise your hand, come forward, do anything. I just want you to think. I want you to reflect on your own salvation. Is the birth of Jesus Christ good news for you? Is it the hope of your salvation that Jesus came and lived the life that you have failed to live, died the death that you deserve to die so that you might live and have eternal life? If so, come and bow before him this evening. I want to say a simple prayer, and I'd ask you, if that's your desire to receive Jesus as Savior and to confess him as Lord, if that's your desire, pray along with me in your heart, or perhaps even in your own words, something like this. Dear Jesus, I believe that you came to save, and I know that I am in need of a Savior. Would you come into my life? Forgive me of my sins. Give me the gift of eternal life. And most of all, teach me how to live for you. May I go away changed this Christmas Eve, just like those shepherds were. May this be the beginning of a new life that I live for you. I give you my life, and I receive your salvation. In your name I pray.